Agenda item number five, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. I'll try to be brief. Once again, I'm following Beck Brune, which is becoming kind of normal. I'm here to talk a little bit about what's going on in Austin, and more importantly, what's not happening in Austin is probably a better way to put it. I'm going to spend a little bit of time at the beginning talking about what I kind of call the big ticket issues. These are the issues you're going to see in the paper most of the time that the legislature is spending quite a bit of time on. And the most important thing about this is that what most of you might see is that on about 75% of these issues, they are not in agreement between the House and the Senate on what they want to do. And what that has caused is kind of a giant game of chicken, is a good way to put it. Instead of working on one piece of legislation, whether it be a Senate bill or a House bill, on tax relief, Second Amendment rights, border and immigration, each respective body, it's passing its own version over to the other body and then expecting the other body to move that one. And so they end up just kind of staring at each other, waiting on each other to blink. There was a little bit of a break in the dam last week where the Senate started moving some House bills and the House started moving some Senate bills, but the overall effect of kind of the disagreement on some of these bigger issues is to slow everything else down. It's kind of caused a chilling effect with the passage of bills, with the House not wanting to move Senate bills and the Senate not wanting to move House bills. So again, it has a trickle-down effect in that it doesn't just affect these bigger ticket issues. It affects everything. And so at some point, as with every session, the big kids will get in a room. They will find agreement and the dam will break. But, you know, again, the effect is that the delay will have been so long that some of the other stuff, you know, other than this, will likely not make it or come very close to not making it. Next slide. Notice I didn't put water as one of the major issues, and that's not an offense to water by any means. It's just that not every session is a water session. Last session obviously was, as Commissioner Brune talked about, you had House Bill 4, you had Prop 6. And so what that generally leads to as it relates to water policy is a lot of tinkering around the edges as opposed to passing major changes in policy. These are some of the things that the legislature is looking at. Groundwater regulation, they're looking at it from the standpoint of making groundwater easier to access and move in and out of groundwater conservation districts. And maybe revamping the way that groundwater conservation districts are managed and how they manage water. Aquifer storage and recovery, brackish desal, and interbasin transfers are things that there have been bills filed to make easier, essentially. And Director or Commissioner Brune talked a little bit about emerging technologies, things like ASR, things like brackish desal. The legislature really has a lot of interest in trying to make those easier to do because they could provide significant water supply for the state and could be a major source of water in the state water plan. Water rights permitting was an issue that was discussed more at the beginning of session, and that relates to surface water rights permitting and attempting to put hard and fast deadlines on how long that process can take, how long the contested case processes can take, how many times it can go to contested case process. That has not gained legs a whole lot this session. It was filed last session as well, but it's still something that they've been talking about quite a bit. Yes, sir.
Matt, is there anything more that you can tell us about interbasin transfers at this point, other than just it's a topic that they're – can you add anything at all to that at this point? I know it's early.
It's kind of – well, we got 30-some-odd days left, so we're getting toward the end. What I would tell you for the most part is anything related to major changes to interbasin transfers is not likely to pass. IBTs, as their acronym is, are kind of a sacred cow. East Texas protects water, not wanting it to move west. And there are provisions in Chapter 11 of the Water Code that make moving water from one part of the state or one basin to another basin extremely difficult. There are not only massive notice provisions within that, there are also junior rights provisions that make that water that you're transferring so junior to the other water in the basin. So there are attempts every session to make IBTs easier. Just like with the legislative logjam, do I think the dam will eventually break? Probably so. Is it going to happen anytime soon? It doesn't look like this.
I understand. Is there anything substantive that has happened on groundwater at this point?
The House Natural Resources Committee passed House Bill 200. last week out of their committee. It's going to the full House. It is meant to provide a little bit more clarity with regard to how people can contest the desired future conditions and or the amount, the limit of groundwater set by a groundwater district, so that, you know, folks have a better amount of due process in terms of contesting groundwater district decisions. There are also another couple of bills which have moved out of their respective committees that make getting transport permits easier and make renewing permits easier. So as long as you're not requesting a major increase in the amount of water, as long as you're just generally renewing a permit, whether it's a transport permit or not, it attempts to make that a lot more streamlined, and they can't hold the process up. So yeah, there are a few changes that I think might be made on that. But again, it's more tinkering around the edges than it is major wholesale change. I'm going to skip off that, go to the next slide. Oversight and transparency. We talked about this at our January meeting. Obviously, there have, and as was mentioned earlier during the public comment section, there have been bills filed to require the sunset review of river authorities. You see the bill numbers up there. They require 18 different river authorities to undergo sunset review. Now, that review does not allow for abolishment, which is obviously much different than a normal sunset process. Most sunset processes are designed to look at an agency and decide whether or not it should continue to exist, and if not, absorb its functions into another agency. With an entity like us that's separate and apart from the appropriations process, that's itself a local government, with our own outstanding bond indebtedness, the legislature does not allow for abolishment so as not to affect the credit ratings of the various entities that are included in the bill. There are a lot of differences between the Senate version of the bill and the House version of the bill, and they're related to the scope of the review. The main difference there relates to LCRA. The House version only requires a review of LCRA's water operations. As you know, LCRA's major operations include electric production. The Senate bill includes a review of their entire operations, including electric and water. So at some point, that's going to have to be parsed out. The handling of the current management audit that all river authorities are required to do. Obviously, the administrative code requires you to do a five-year management audit or have an internal audit function. One of the bills does away with the five-year management audit for those entities that are part of the sunset process should the bill pass. One of the bills just does away with it temporarily. So if you go through sunset within the next 5 years, you don't have to do a management audit. You basically skip to another 5 years. So it's a minute detail, but again, it handles them differently. And then the overall review schedule is different in both bills. The Senate bill puts more of the smaller river authorities first. And that was requested by the Sunset Commission in order for them to kind of get their feet wet, figure out how they're going to do this from a staff standpoint, and figure out how they're going to review an entity the likes of which they've never actually reviewed before, for the most part. The House bill goes more in alphabetical order. So the overall order of how the review schedule is going to happen is going to have to be worked out likely in conference committee when those bills start moving. Overall, and as we've discussed, we're in no way shy to audits are being reviewed, as was evidenced by last year. We went through two different audits simultaneously, one by the State Auditor's Office and one by the Legislative Budget Board. We have shared the results of those with you. I think that the best way I would sum it up is to say they were as close to an A paper as you can get. Overall, as it related to the major overarching issues that both of those entities reviewed, they gave the BRA passing grade. There were one or two very minor things that they wanted us to fix, most of which have already been implemented. One of the things that the LBB recommended was to live stream board meetings, which we're doing. So, and we were actually already in the process of doing that to document some of our procedures that were being followed, but they needed to be formalized. So there were, again, very small things, most of which we've already done. Probably the bigger picture issues from each report, and I don't want to get into too much detail about each one, but I'll do one each. On the State Auditor's Office report, one of the things it looked at was the closure of the hydro dam at PK. And it made it very clear that that was done above board, within the law, and having done a proper cost-benefit analysis before doing so. They were very complimentary of the process that the BRA and the board went through in order to do that. As it relates to the LBB report, our overall water management, they lauded our water management in terms of meeting water supply needs during the drought, understanding that that's the main function for our reservoirs and that we were doing our job, that it wasn't an easy job, but that we were doing it right. So those are probably the bigger picture issues that came out of those two audit reports. And so, again, I think as it relates to this, another review would not be a problem for us. It's something that we've, you know, gotten quite used to and have no problem doing. So With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Chairman, I think recommend that